Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's waste no time. Hour number four here, final hour of the program. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Rob Long is off today. We welcome in former GM, friend of the program, Jim Duquette joins us here on The Fan. Jim, what's up,
man? What's going on, Jeremy? Ed, how you guys been?
Good. So you called us, right? What did you want to talk about?
I'll tell you what, it's another morning in paradise, as Joe just said. You know, nothing to talk about here in Baltimore with the Orioles.
Hey, Jim, like, what do they do? I mean, because they're like, I've looked at this from all different facets, not only this year, but I don't know what their pitching looks like next year, especially if they end up moving some of the pieces this year. Like, there's just so many things that can happen. But your thoughts on the firing of Hyde and where they're at now?
Well, the hard part with Brandon, you know, it's not his fault, but there's not much that the Orioles that could be done at the moment. You're sitting there going, well, usually if you look around, let's say Texas Rangers earlier, about a month ago, you know, they weren't going to make a change with their manager. They fired their hitting coaches, then brought in Brett Boone. Like, there's some things that they did. You know, the Orioles had already made changes with their coaches in the wintertime, which I was a little confused about because, I mean, they've been pretty successful. That's usually a first step. So there was kind of an indication that Brandon was kind of on thin ice going into the start of the season when most of his coaches were gone, right? So now they get off to the slow start. You have a lot of their top, you know, obviously the top players, prospects have come through the organization that are underperforming. So, you know, the manager, rightly or wrongly, takes the hit on that. You know, the front office takes the hit on how poor they were in terms of their decisions and the money that they spent and the underperforming guys that they signed, all of that. They should be taking responsibility for how bad this team is currently. But, you know, you can't change out the players, right? We say that all the time. So, unfortunately, Brandon takes the hit on this and ends up getting fired. But nothing's going to really change with the team until they find some kind of improvement with their pitching, their starting pitching in particular. And because they don't have a lot of depth in that area, I don't think it's going to get better this year, guys. I think they got to look ahead. I mean, obviously, they're not going to do this now because trade talks haven't started yet. But at some point, I think they're going to end up having to be sellers, trade any of the valuable pieces and reset this thing this winter. It's not the greatest thing to do, but I don't think there's any other option. I don't think they're coming out of this.
Well, I don't think any of us do. And you mentioned, Jim, like, need pitching for sure. Need pitching, but it's not like they're one guy away. It's not like they're missing a number one or they're missing depth. They don't have any pitching now. So how difficult is that to do when you have to, because premier pitchers just aren't sitting out there. And not in big numbers, and they're expensive. So how would you fill this staff?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that, to make sure that obviously the Orioles fans understand that. And I think obviously they do to some degree, but it is extremely expensive for starting pitching on the free agent market. And, you know, they don't have much in their system that is going to come up and save the day like they've had, they've watched Grayson Rodriguez over his years. I know he's been injured, but there is hope at least with him coming up, and they don't have a lot of, and Means, when he was coming up, but guys like that, they don't have those guys coming either. They got to get Bradish healthy. I'm concerned that Grayson, this is going to be year in, year out, this type of injury history that we've seen with him. So you can't really count on him. You know, there's two ways to go about this. One is at the trade deadline. So try to trade some of your worthy players at the deadline for long-term starting pitching or just long-term pitching, and then going out this winter and just finding any possible guy, like multiple pitchers. Some you got to take flyers on, right? So, 1-year deals. The Mets have done that in the past. They did it last year with Sean Manaea. There are guys like that that every year, you know, have recovery seasons, and they got to hit on a couple of those, which they didn't do and haven't done. And then they got to sign one or two long-term guys. And that, I think, I'm not sure that fixes it, but it's at least a start.
Hey, Jim, when you mentioned, we're talking to Jim Duquette here, when you mentioned trading some of their pieces, you're not talking about the Westbergs and the Rutschmans and the Hendersons and those guys. It's like you have pieces of trade that you can move. And again, a lot of the value that's on this team, as weird as it sounds, could be those two starting pitchers whose contracts run out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think Eflin, for sure. I mean, those guys would definitely have, you know, in pitching on the market, on the trade market, definitely has value. You get teams that overpay just because of the fact there just isn't a lot out there. So, you know, you can always, you know, come back and revisit signing, re-signing one of those guys. Eflin, I definitely would have interest in, you know, this winter to re-sign him. But you have to really look and try to get something back in return. Listen, as difficult as it would be, now, I don't think the Orioles would trade Bautista, but you have to at least consider him. You know, he's like, if you look at value out there, and you can usually find closers or, you know, top-end relievers at you know, in the wintertime to come in and replace him, Bautista would get you a lot in return, too. So I'm not sure they'll do that, but they have to at least consider it. Cano, for sure, I'd put him on. You know, anybody outside of Bautista, I'd put him on the trade market. But if you get something significant for Bautista, I think you have to consider him too. But the young talent, as you mentioned, Jeremy, I wouldn't know. I'm not moving any of those type of guys at the deadline. You're holding on to them.
Hey, Jim, as a GM, Elias is getting a lot of criticism. He took the blame. He came on the show last Tuesday and said he was responsible for a lot of this because of his, you know, selections and drafting and things like that. But how do you hold the GM accountable when guys who are like number one prospects come up and fulfill their potential? Like Adley was, and I just looked this morning, MLB.com had him as the best catcher in baseball going into 2024. The best ahead of everybody else. Now he's not. He's just fallen off the table. How do you blame the GM for something like this when a guy looks like he's going to be a stud, comes up and apparently is a stud, and then has, you know, a fall off? Like, how do you blame the GM?
Well, I think ultimately he's responsible for all of it. So any of these guys, right, that have underperformed, you have high-end guys, guys got all this hype, right? If they don't perform up to what people and what the industry and what even internally they thought, then, yeah, absolutely, you know, the GM has to take responsibility for that. It's also up to the owner to figure out. I'm not sure this owner, who's so still new on the job, understands exactly, you know, what accountability is in the front office side. I mean, he seems to think that, you know, this front office is infallible in every decision that they've made, at least some of his public comments that I've seen. So, you know, some of that is, you know, partly over time, you know, ownerships, new ownerships, they start to find some of this out. They start to look outside for outside baseball counsel, which is one of the things I think is a underrated thing that is ignored with new owners. It happened in New York with the Mets. I think it's currently going on with Baltimore right now. So I think there are, but it'll take some time on that side. And I think that's where Mike Elias sees, you know, things in writing too. Like he's wearing this every single day, like the players are, and he has to figure this out quickly. He's going to get a vote of confidence at some point if he hasn't already, but like, you can't afford another year like this, or else now the attention's going to be on him.
Yeah.
Jim Duquette joining us here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Jim, as always, man, we appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be hitting you up to talk about where they're at in a few weeks and in a few weeks
I'm
after
sure
that.
We'll be talking.
Oh, man, this is going to be a long season and something you didn't expect to happen at the beginning of the year. But as always, man, appreciate your time.
All right, anytime, guys.
See you, man. Thank you.
That's Jim Duquette. Let me squeeze in a caller real quick. Tim's been waiting. Tim's in Essex. What's up, man? You want to talk O's?
Yeah, man, I'm here to talk O's, man. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, Oriole fan since I was 6 years old. I'm 64. So what I don't understand is basic situational baseball. I mean, last night was another classic case. You got the go-ahead man on second base. You got the hottest streaking hitter on their team up. Put him on first base. The guy behind him is a struggling hitter. I don't understand, you know, just basic situational baseball that doesn't get, you know, come into play anymore.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate the call. We touched on that earlier, too. Like, they talked about it after the game and saying, you know, being the eighth inning, they didn't want to put two guys on base and be chasing two runs in the ninth that happened. I agree with you. Like, if I'm looking at it in that situation and you set up first and second, you pick who, if you have an open base, you pick who you want to pitch to. And if Contreras is the guy that you don't want to pitch to because he's starting to get hot again, he's been one of the best hitting catchers in all of baseball, even though he started off slow, then you move on from it. All right, we're going to talk some more Ravens. We've got some cool stuff coming up as well we'll get to. But Derrick Henry, he wouldn't say that his two-year extension would be the last of his career, but if you were the Ravens, would you hesitate to give a 33-year-old Henry a new deal? Getting ahead of ourselves. Are you guys going to pay him? All right, we'll talk about it when we come back right here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Focus on this year and then, you know, focus to continue to get better year after year that I'm here. And that's always going to be my focus. I mean, I love football. I love playing. I know people look at the age, but I don't really try to focus on that. I just focus on how can Derrick Henry be better? How can Derrick Henry help the Ravens get to where they want to get to? And me being the best teammate I can be to my teammates.
That's Derrick Henry. Kind of we talked about it. Doesn't sound like 2 years it's going to be over for him. He's just going to. And I think it's what you should do. Mm-hmm. If you like playing the game, if you're still playing it at a high level, as we've talked about, there are anomalies in sports.
Nolan Ryan, as Ken Cusick pointed out last week.
Yeah. Some of those guys, though, were on steroids, the anomalies, but as they got older.
Ryan was never accused
of it. No. Like, yeah. Again, I'm kidding here, but you look at some of these guys, there are people that do, I don't even want to say get better as they get older, but can maintain it. I mean, I just looked up. You guys remember how long Frank Gore ran? He came in the league in 2005 and ran until 2020. And even his last year, he had 653 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you think about that guy. He ran for, like, some people wonder, should he be a Hall of Famer? 16,000 yards rushing over 16 years.
Yeah.
So.
He was pretty amazing. People would, again, with him, be like, oh, he's an old man. Yeah, is he?
Well, and you know, you had him, Curtis Martin played until he was later in age. I guess like the thing with him would be like, how much is he taking care of his body? How much are the hits kind of adding up? And does he hit the proverbial wall that running backs usually do? When is that? It's going to happen. I mean, we say it all the time and it's so stupid, but it's true. But Father Time's undefeated. Nobody's beating them. You're not going to see anybody out there going in their 50s and 60s, but maybe in the future. I mean, we're getting bigger, stronger, faster. Maybe we just start getting older and still maintain it. But with Derrick Henry, this is a guy that he doesn't even have to be great to be great. Does that make sense to you? Like, he's a guy that when he comes in, he can have such an impact on a game in a few carries, whether it's down near the goal line, whether it's a third and short, a fourth and short to use him. He can still have an impact on a game, even if he wasn't the feature back.
Even if he doesn't get the ball.
Yeah.
Because that mesh point between him and Lamar is the most dangerous mesh point in football. Mm-hmm. Seriously. So, I mean, he can do a lot of things with the ball in his hand. Even if he doesn't get the ball, he has an impact on the game. You have to account for him.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on how long he can do this? Like, I wouldn't bet against him. He's the one guy I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen too many guys that I thought were good come back the next year. Like, I was an Ezekiel Elliott truther, and then I was like, what happened to him? He was so good, and he just faded. It was done.
It happens, but I got to say, in his case, I think the odds are much more in his favor than most because he's a guy, look, he works the way Ray Lewis worked, like where he keeps amazing shape. He conditions his body incredibly well. And just that's who he is, and he's done it forever, and it pays off because that's why he lasted. That's why Ray was so good for so long, because you know he would have those workouts. Him and Ed Reed and a bunch of Ravens would work out with him on the Oregon Bridge Park there, but in a couple of weeks it was just him and Ed. Everyone else just dropped out, and he's a professional athlete.
Yeah,
so he's that kind of guy. But I get what you're saying because my best example of it is probably one of my all time favorites, LaDainian Tomlinson. Now, he was great. He was great. Like his, he went, you know, 1,200, 16, 16, 13, 14, 1,800 yards, 1,474, 11, then 730, 914, 2. He just boom, totally fell off the page. I mean, just right after that.
He lost his explosiveness. He could still catch the ball. I think you could have moved him to the slot and played him out of there for a little bit longer to extend his career. But
yeah, he's still, right. His last couple of years, he still had, you know, 52 catches, 42 catches.
He turned himself into the virtual third down back, right? Yeah. Like, that's kind of what you saw him become. And that's the same thing I'm saying with Derrick Henry. Like, even if his skills erode because of his size and ability to have a nose for the end zone, he doesn't fall backwards a lot. There's not a lot of guys knocking him over backwards. It happens. But you could still see him have a career. Now, when I go back to it, Derrick Henry's played 9 years. I just told you that Frank Gore played 16. So when we sit here and think about it being ridiculous that he gets another contract, that's why I'm bringing it up. Yeah. So I don't think it's as ridiculous, even though, like, you know, as I said, we're getting way of our ahead of ourselves, like, talking about it. But I think it's valid because even with the extension, you play another year and here you're going, okay, what are you guys doing at running back in 2 years?
Well, again, even I bring up Ladainian Tomlinson. He played 11 years. He was only 5'10", though. Mm-hmm. He's at a 6'3", 250 pounds, you know, block of muscle. He was an outstanding player. I still love LT. I think he's one of my favorites of all time. But he's not the size of Derrick Henry.
I wonder how many linebackers he's bigger than in the league.
Henry?
Yeah.
Quite a few. Because he's not that big anymore. If you look at the weights and stuff. You know,
Look, you have your, I hate saying specialized things. You have your pass rushers. You have your speed guys that are better at covering. You know, like, you'll see guys. You know how we platoon left and left field or whatever? It's like, hey, lefty's on the mound. We got our righty. Righty's on the mound. You got your lefty, like a lot of teams do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost feels like there was that platoon there, you know, when you look at it and just exchanging this for this. Oh, you take this guy out? Yeah. So, like, it's third down and long. Hey, we want the guy that can cover the running back out of the backfield. Right, we'll make a substitution.
Let's just use linebackers we know. The Ravens linebackers. Chandler, 230, 235, 253, 227, 232, 252. He's bigger than everybody. He's the biggest one on the team is his size.
But that was going to be my guess, that he's bigger than 80% of the linebackers in the league.
235, 232, 227. This is what they weigh now, 235, 230. And then you have a couple guys, you know. But the ones that are listed at 252, it's Ojabo. He's an edge rusher. He's not an inside. He's not a linebacker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the guys that he's the size of.
Yep.
The inside linebackers in the 230s. He's 20 pounds heavier than that.
And those are the guys you're usually not worried about tackling.
Right. Right.
So, all right. We've got. So, I wanted to do this. I was telling Ed about it. We're going to have a doctor on next. It's Melanoma and Skin Cancer Awareness Month. That's what May is. And the reason I set this up, knowing you just went through it, hell, I changed your bandage this morning.
Yes, you did.
I've been changing his bandages like a good boy.
You've done me a tremendous favor.
But no, like this, this is something that's important. I got this dot on my forehead that I should get checked out.
You should.
My wife's like looking at it. I said, well, what is it? So, and we don't do it. You get into your day-to-day and you don't get it looked at. So we're going to talk to a doctor next. Kind of get his thoughts on this month. Mark Welch will be joining us. He's a dermatologist. We'll talk about, you know, what Ed went through and how you can prevent some of this stuff. That's coming up next. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Rob Long's off this week. And as I said earlier, May is Melanoma and Skin Cancer Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
My co-host here just had his battle with melanoma. I changed his bandages this morning.
Yep.
Made sure I washed my hands so you can't get anything infected, right? Yeah.
At the very least, you should have. Thank you, yes.
Oh, sorry. I left and washed my hands. We're now going to talk to Chief Medical Director of Anne Arundel Dermatology, and I'm sure you have, Dr. Mark Welch, I'm sure you have a bunch of titles, so you can tell me if I got any of that wrong.
That's actually correct. We've got 90 locations across 8 states, spanning from Pennsylvania to Florida, but a lot of them are right here in the Baltimore, D.C. area.
All right. Doctor, one of the first thing I'd like to ask you, and I hope you clear this up for people, I've discovered that I had stage 2A melanoma. And when people hear that, they kind of shrug like, oh, okay.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, they think it's like it's a joke when they say, could you just describe that there were skin cancers and melanoma is just one type. It's not that all skin cancer are melanoma and this is not a, you know, this isn't like you have a scratch.
Not at all. And so melanoma represents about 5% of all skin cancers. And if you added all the skin cancers together, they make up more than 50% of every cancer that's out there, breast, prostate, lung, add them all together, there's still more skin cancer. Wow. But melanoma is that small subset that you've got to identify quickly and treat quickly, because it's the one that's most life-threatening of all of them.
Doc, as you look at some of the other stuff, what can you tell us about the risk factors for skin cancer? Because I know Ed's talking about the different types, but obviously things can get pretty bad pretty quick.
That's true. It's the most common cancer of people between the ages of 25 and 29 years old. So it can start early, and that's because one of the big risk factors is childhood sunburns. Either one blistering sunburn or a total of five sunburns altogether increase your risk two times.
Wow. That's interesting, because it's funny. I grew up in New York City, but Brooklyn particularly, which is in the Atlantic Ocean, I went to the beach constantly as a kid. Got sunburned as a teenager. Okay.
Yeah. Starting to make sense, huh?
Yeah. We'll talk about this at the end, I guess, for catching it early, because I'll tell you how mine was caught. One of the things people are talking to me now, when you start to talk about this, that everyone's got an opinion. Many of them are not doctors. what is this, the benefit of sunscreen? Some people say, apply it every day when you're walking around. Other people say you don't need sunscreen. There are other ways to prevent this. Where does the medical world stand on, prevention like sunscreen and the like?
So the dermatology community recommends the daily use of sunscreen, and you want that to be SPF 30 or higher. Mm-hmm. And they've done studies that shown the regular daily use of sunscreen decreases the risk of melanoma by 50%. Wow. There's other ways you can protect yourself, though, too. You can wear sun-protective clothing, including hats, sunglasses, seeking shade when you're outside whenever possible, because a cloudy day is not going to protect you.
Right.
It only prevents about 20% of the damaging UV rays from coming through.
Do those SPF shirts work?
Yes, they absolutely work.
Yeah, it's funny because hearing you guys talk about this, because you're speaking about me. Like, I played flag football and sports outside my whole life. My wife's like, "You want to put sunscreen on?" I was like, "No, I don't want to sweat and get it in my eyes." So I never put anything on, and I was always like the same thing with skin cancer. Until honestly, it's amazing in life when someone that either you care about or know gets affected by something, the effect it has on you. So now, like I was saying to Ed, I got this little dot on my forehead. I want to get it looked at. Probably go in there and hear it's nothing, but it's probably better hear it's nothing than find out it's something.
Yeah. Again, with the key being early diagnosis, you don't want to sit and watch something grow and change on your body. That's potentially a sign of something becoming cancerous. So you got something to get looked at. You call your dermatologist.
100%.
My stomach has grown and changed on my body, but that's just in size.
That's not dermatology.
Oh, I can't talk to him about it. All right, that's fine.
But my wife, my wife saw it. It was a mole in the middle of my upper back that I would have never seen. It turned black and had looked at. That's why I think people need to really take a good, they don't go to dermatologists as often as they should, because I ended up catching it, thankfully. If she didn't see it, it would have gone really bad. And when I was diagnosed, at least the surgeon said, because I was obviously a nervous. You could be the toughest guy in the world. And I pride myself on all I've been through.
You kept saying all the things you went through, you were going to let a mold take you out.
Yeah. I'm like, when a doctor tells you have cancer, it's a kick in the balls. Yeah. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
It really is. And it was devastating for me. But he did say, it was Dr. Perez, the Moffitt Center in Tampa. He said, relax, this is very treatable. We can probably do this with surgery. And luckily, my margins were clear. He took out some lymph nodes that hadn't spread. So it is treatable if caught early. But what do you recommend people do?
Yeah. So point number one, Ed, your wife is a keeper.
Yes.
Point number two, the most common location for melanoma in men is on the back. So it's not an area that we look at. So that's why you've got to engage your partner or, get into a medical professional and get it looked at. And you mentioned Dr. Perez telling you, this was caught early enough. We're in good shape prognosis-wise. The five-year survival when it hasn't spread to the lymph nodes or other organs is 98%.
Wow.
So that's just fantastic, but it really speaks to get in, get something checked. Don't ignore it. Don't watch it go through changes.
Yeah.
That could be bad.
Dr. Mark Welch, of course. This is Melanoma and Skin Cancer Awareness Month in May. We appreciate you coming on. Anything else that people should know, like where can they find you? Should they just make an appointment to see a dermatologist regularly and instead of letting things carry on? I don't think I've ever seen a dermatologist. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so, ever.
So a lot of times primary care doctors are the gatekeeper, but you can call a local dermatologist and get right in. Our website's aadermatology.com, and we've got those locations between Pennsylvania and Florida, and they'd be happy to see you.
Well, I'm in Anne Arundel County, so maybe I will be swinging by and getting it done. But, Doc, we appreciate your time for coming on and letting everybody know about this. Obviously, it's affected us. My father-in-law just had surgery to have a melanoma removed from his nose, which he said was painful to go through, and nobody wants anything removed on their face and have some mark or scar or whatever. But, Doc, we do appreciate your time shedding some light on this.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's an important message.
It really is. Thank
you. Absolutely. That's Dr. Mark Welch. And Ed, like, look, you're, I think people would look at you, and not to label somebody, but like a tough guy. You know, you played sports, you boxed, you were a police officer, all these things that go along with it. And I could see, like, I don't mind saying this, and I hope you don't care. Like, there was one morning you looked at me, and I said, man, you need a hug? And you're like, you kind of like went like this, and then I just hugged you, and I could feel how emotional you were.
Dude.
Because of what you're going through. Like, it's... Oh. You didn't know what the outcome was going to be.
It can be fatal, man. This is what pissed me off, I think, with so many people. It's like, it's almost like they want you to have more serious care. This is serious.
Yeah.
This is deadly. And people just don't realize it. It's like, they think all skin cancer is melanoma and all melanoma. It's not. It's you heard him say, it's 5% of skin cancers.
That's what I thought.
Everyone thinks that. It's not. It's 5%. It's the most rare form of skin cancer. It's like, and there's some other really odd rare ones, but that's 5% of all of them. Squamous cell, basal cell, all these other ones. And people heard it at melanoma. Oh, you'll be fine. Maybe not. Yeah. Like, that's how Bob Marley died. A lot of people die of melanoma.
Yeah, he couldn't even see it in his toe, right?
Toenail. It's just... They always think he was badly treated and he... Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's a deadly disease. And even here, think about what he just said. I don't know if it registered people. At my stage, when it's caught and there's nothing spread in the lymph nodes, you have a 98.5-year survival rate.
You got to catch it.
It's not 100%, though. Still, it's a survival rate. It's like, you're still in danger. You always have cancer. You have to, I have to be checked constantly now. It's like, people need to really get their heads right about this. It's a very serious thing, and no one takes it seriously, particularly men.
It's lucky you got a good friend like me to look you over.
Thank God. Well, you help a lot. You don't realize
it. I mean, I'm just, like, yeah. I think it's so funny, because I'm not a religious person, but I fully believe that I was put here to serve and help people and do things. And so when Ed's like, oh, I got to find somebody, I'll do it. Really? Yeah. You said really. That's the first thing you said out of your mouth. It's like, man, I wiped my grandmother's ass and bathed her. And that was before she was even sick. We just had a close family. No, I'm kidding. When she was dying, that's what I had to do. And at one point in time, she ran out of the house butt-ass naked, and I had to tackle her on the front lawn. You know what that was like? Freaking Ray Lewis on my grandmother. Make sure you get your head up. You got to get that form fit tackling to lay her out.
Oh,
running around the house. I'm like, where are you going? You're naked. She didn't care. All right, we've got the encore and what we've learned coming up. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thomas came here, if I remember correctly. He went to Madden and put himself in a Ravens uniform to see how he'd look. I think it was him. It was one of the safeties. To see how he'd look in a Ravens uniform.
I thought he made his brother the center on the team and he was the quarterback. No?
Sorry. His brother. I told you he lived in my building. Anyway, that end, I was with Wally Williams. And he's on the phone with a friend of his. We're having a drink. When we were doing the drunk shopping thing, we have lunch and drink and go shopping.
That's great.
Me and Wally. And Wally is talking his buddy into going to the Eagles. You know why? The uniform.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm telling you, I'll get Wally on the phone. So he goes, that's a great uniform, bro.
Like, you're going to look good, you.
Wally played for the Saints. Maybe the best uniform in the league. It's one of them. And it's like, I think uniforms matter. They're just people.
It's so funny to me. We couldn't be any different in so many different walks of life and get along as well as we do. Like, Ed, I want you to go through my closet and tell me if there's anything in there you would wear that you didn't buy me. Please, just the next time you're over, just look at my clothes. You're like, you have 15 hoodies. You wear three of them. Anyway.
I walk in, I'm wearing a pair of Vans suede slip-ons, a traditional Vans sneaker. Jeremy's like, are you wearing loafers? What is that?
And I said, I'm not making fun of it. It's just something I would never buy. It looks good. I think everything looks weird on me. That's your encore. Ed, the encore?
Brought to you by Lines Den, as always, every day. Explore your curiosity. Seriously, see what you like out there. And spark your relationship. There's some great stuff at Lines Den. It's one of those stores, it's more fun when you leave and get your stuff home. They got some great stuff at Lines Den. There's a bunch of locations around the Baltimore area. Please check them out.
Did you take some of this stuff home and try it on yourself?
Well, let's say I'm there when it's tested. When we go for a test ride, I'm right there.
No question. Yeah, but before we get to the encore, it is funny, like that statement there, you know that's true, right? If I took you to my closet and you looked at my clothes, the only thing in there that you would like might be a suit or two that I have would be something that you bought me. Oh, I got to bring that Irish hoodie, don't I? To Ireland? Didn't you give me a hoodie?
Yes, I did. That's right.
I have to wear that. Yeah. I didn't even think about it.
Forget about that.
Yeah, that hoodie's sitting in my closet right now. But yeah, like, again, I don't, it's so weird when it comes to fashion stuff because I'm such a simple, and I mean simple-minded human. Like, I don't.
Simpleton? Is that what you're
for? Well, you could say that. Like, it's just, I don't look. I'm a simpleton. No, but I'm just saying, like, I don't look at clothes the way that you guys look at clothes. And, like, tonight I'm doing Curly's Sports Banquet at, not. Hey, Mo! Anyway, no, but at Curly High School, Archbishop Curly, going down there to do their sports banquet. And so I'm wearing a suit tonight. So I went to, it was funny. It's coming up on me and I go, oh, I got to get to the dry cleaners, don't I?
You got to lose 30 pounds. I got to lose like 20 pounds by Friday. What if I can?
That's when I start putting the tie on and then I can't get that button on my neck.
Exactly. I've had that conversation myself. Like I needed a suit and nothing fit. Like, oh, can I lose 20 pounds in 5 days?
Yeah. Well, I just showed you that woman wearing those Spanx. She lost 100 pounds and she had so much extra skin.
Yeah.
And when she puts those things on, you can't tell. Hiding it. All right, let's get to what we learned. We already did the encore.
Yes, we did. Well, I'm just happy we had Dr. Mark Welch on. We talked about the melanoma and skin cancer awareness month, right? Is that what this is?
Yep.
That all skin cancer, not melanoma. Melanoma is a very rare form of it, only 5%. Please get yourself checked, folks. Probably saved my life. My wife seeing it early. And it wasn't that early. It was stage 2A. It wasn't like, it wasn't like they scraped it off with a deli slicer and I was good. It was like surgery, lymph nodes had to come out, big wound had to be healed. So seriously, please, this time of the year, it's Skin Cancer Awareness Month, go to a dermatologist, get yourself looked at. If she didn't find that on my back, it would have gone really badly for me. So, it's just something to think about. Please. And of course, on Thursday, you'll be there. We're having, thank Mount Washington Tavern is welcoming me back with a happy hour.
My wife will be there too.
Yes.
Making a rare appearance at an event.
I know.
My wife.
Happy to hear she's coming.
Yeah.
Mount Washington Tavern, 5:30 to 7:30.
First time ever.
don't make me. Don't tee me up like that. Mount Washington Tavern this Thursday, 5:30, having a happy hour to welcome me back from this little battle I had. So come on out. Seriously, it'd be fun to see everybody and have a couple of drinks and be a little less stressed than I was 2 months ago.
I'm looking forward to these jokes. Have you ever dated twins?
I dated one twin.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So I used to date a girl with a twin and my buddies would be always like, how do you tell them apart? And I said, well, Jill paints her nails and Bob has a penis. That's how I tell them apart.
Although, is it true? I told my son this story recently. How quickly I want to derail your jokes. I hooked up with one twin when I was about 15, 16. To this day, I don't know which one it was. I am not joking.
Hey.
That's not a joke. I have no idea which one it was.
I was in the bar last night when a waitress yelled, "Does anyone know CPR?" I yelled back, "I know all three of those letters." Everyone laughed, except that one guy. My son choked on his train-themed birthday cake. I guess he bit off more than he could. Choo-choo! I adopted a dog from a locksmith. As soon as we got home, Ed, he made a bolt for the door. I wanted to wait till you finished drinking before I hit the button. Because it's so stupid. Joe, so like, he made a bolt for the door. Like, you would think maybe he's dashing, but it was a blacksmith dog, so he actually made a bolt for the No. Anyway, what do you call it when there are too many knights at the round table? That's a surplus. What do you call it when you have rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Thrice.
Mm.
My ex-wife was beautiful. Downright beautiful, but she had a lazy eye. Turns out she was seeing someone on the side.
That's my joke. Nah. I use that all the time. She was also a teacher. Couldn't keep her pupils in line.
See? There you go. I read a book called How to Scam People Online. It's been 6 months now, and I still haven't received it. How's that work, Joe? Sorry. And a dragon will never explode, but a dynamite. All right, there we go.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow. Vinny and Haney up next. What? Vinny's up next. Stay tuned. Or Haney's up.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.